بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الراكب شيطان، والراكبان شيطانان، والثلاثة ركب. رواه أبو داود والترمذي والنسائي بأسانيد صحيحة. وقال الترمذي: حديث حسن. عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده. This is a unique chain of narration which actually refers to riwayat that the grandson of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. In other words, he is narrating from his father, who is narrating from his grandfather. Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person who undertakes a journey, raqib, a rider, on his own in solitude, such a person, literal translation of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is one shaitan. Two people traveling together are two shaitans. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَثَلَاثَةُ رَكْبٌ. When it is three, then it is a group and it is a jamaat. We are continuing with the sunnah that are pertinent to traveling. Amongst the sunnah that have been covered thus far, one is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly advocated that we should not be traveling alone. Find in the previous hadith the extent to which this is emphasized. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Law anna an-nasa ya'lamuna min al-wahdati ma a'lam." If people had to come to know the harms of traveling alone, that which I know, if you knew that which I know, then you would never travel alone, particularly at night. We have to bear in mind that a lot of these hidayat and etiquettes, one is pertinent to what we call makhatabin awwalin, those who were first being addressed. That is the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the challenges that they faced when they traveled. It was a desert climate. Obviously they were traveling with horses and with camels. Many instances they were traveling alone. Late at night in a desert climate, you're going to face difficulties. There might be animals, there might be harmful insects, etc. And in the light of that, we find that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly advised them that as far as possible, avoid traveling alone. Should be borne in mind, if these impediments and dangers are not there, then obviously the level of prohibition and the level of emphasis in avoiding it would also fall away to a large extent. But the mizaj and temperament, actual sunnah, when you travel, as we see from the previous ahadith, try and choose a Thursday if you have that extent of levity. Otherwise, any other day you can travel upon. The last safar or journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was his Hajjatul Wada, occurred on a Saturday. So, but Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prefer, لَقَلَّمَا, it is mentioned very rarely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would travel, start his journey besides on a Thursday. Secondly, travel in the early part of the morning, although we'll see in other ahadith, traveling at night also is permissible. The third aspect is what is touched on upon in this hadith, that as far as possible, don't travel alone. And even two people, avoid traveling as two people also, as far as possible, travel as a jamaat. One is a person's death can occur. In the instance of that, his possessions that are with him, returning it back to their heirs, to the inheritors, seeing to his burial. When it is just one or two people, all these things become very, very difficult. Also, in traveling, there's the issue of khidmat, there's the issue of carrying of the saman, there's the issue of cooking, etc. Very, very important, pertinent to one's mizaj and temperament of deen is making salah in jamaat, even while traveling. Person is out, one is traveling in the path of Allah Ta'ala, other is a person traveling for business or something that else also. Why deprive yourself of the benefit of making salah with jamaat? When you are two, it is possible. When you are three, then it becomes even more easier. Sa'id bin Musayyib, rahimahullah, one of the Salafi Salihin, he's saying, is there, he mentions, he says that shaitan attacks, or the attack of shaitan is easy when it is one or two people. And he says, when you are three, when you are a jamaat, yadullahi alal jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala's hand, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hidden help, nusrat, is with a jamaat. So in that instance, he says, shaitan also stays away when it is three or more. In other words, there is less chance of him being able to deceive or deviate when it is a group, when it is a jamaat. So coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said one person, look at the extent to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked this. That we find the literal words that are used in hadith, he said, ar-raqib shaitan. A person on his own is shaitan. Two are shaitan. Two shaitans. Doesn't literally mean that they become shaitan. It means that it is very easy for them to fall into the plot and machinations of shaitan if they are going to be alone. So as far as possible, obviously some dire necessity, that is a different matter. As I mentioned previously, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his kitab, there's one chapter he's got, where he says that the permissibility of traveling alone. Sometimes there is some dire necessity. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that in the battle of Khandaq, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a spy, sent one sahabi on his own. So that type of travel, in other words, Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was sent as a spy on the occasion of Khandaq. So there he was sent alone. So when there is a necessity to be alone, that is a different matter. But as far as possible, it is something that should be avoided. An Abi Sa'id wa Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha kharaja thalathatun fi safarin falyu'ammiru ahadahum. Hadithun hasanun rawahu Abu Dawud bi isnadin hasan. This is one very, very important and stressed upon sunnah, which we find mentioned in this hadith. And as far as possible, when we are traveling, these adab and etiquette don't only refer to traveling in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Like I said, sometimes you're traveling on holiday, vacation. Sometimes a person is traveling on a business trip, or whatever it is. As far as possible, our lives must be molded on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless of the occasion. So as far as possible, we should try to bring alive these sunnahs, reading the dua before proceeding, making our salah with jamaat, trying to travel in a group, leaving in the early part of the morning, etc. And in this particular hadith, Abu Sa'id and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma narrate that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا خَرَجَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي سَفَرٍ. When three people, in other words, three people or more, when three people or more undertake a journey, فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. Let them appoint one of them as an amir. In other words, this appointing an amir, this also we find our jamaats when you go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and particularly, obviously, these trips are journeys in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So there also an amir is appointed. This is extracted directly from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the term in the hadith is imperative. In other words, it's a command. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا. In other words, I am commanding you that you appoint an amir over yourselves when you undertake a journey. Appointing of an amir, there obviously we find that based on other ahadith and verses of the Quran also, there are certain adab and etiquette. In other words, who should be appointed as the amir? Ulama mentioned that you choose a person, first and foremost, of noble character. Someone of akhlaq. And very, very important with that, soft nature. When an amir is hard or harsh or intolerable, then that also becomes a problem and it leads to fitna. So they say, ulama mentioned this. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا تَحْرُمُ النَّارِ إِنَّمَا تَحْرُمُ النَّارِ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ هَيِّنْ لَيِّنْ قَرِيبٍ سَهْلٍ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, Allah has made Jahannam haram. Allah has made Jahannam haram upon every person who is soft natured, who is amicable, who is friendly, who is easy going, who is easily approachable. Nowadays many of us have this misconception or idea that the more harsh, more intolerant, more stern, more unapproachable a person is, the more mashallah very muttaqi, pious. Yet if we weigh this in the light of seerah, in the light of ahadith, we find there's no basis for this whatsoever. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jahannam is haram. If a person qareeb, sahal, layyin, person who is soft, friendly, easily approachable, always smiling, amicable, such a person Allah Ta'ala makes Jahannam haram upon him. So even in appointing an ameer, this is an important etiquette which the ulama ikram mentioned, that choose someone who is soft-natured. With that, certain other guidelines they give us, intelligent and experienced. When you going about a particular affair, choose someone who is efficient in a particular field for him to give you the right direction. You don't go choose someone who has no experience whatsoever. So that also is important. Normally this is why we say look for elderly person, not elderly because of age, elderly because of experience. And also with that, one other important quality which ulama-i-kiram highlight when choosing an ameer is they choose someone who has the quality of ithar. What is ithar? Ithar means giving preference to others over yourself. This was a special quality of not just Sahaba, but the Ansar of Medina. This particular quality of theirs, Allah Ta'ala highlights in the Quran. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Ajib sifat and attributes of the Ansar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Four or five are highlighted in this verse of the Quran. Obviously time constraints, we're not going into that. But one particular pertinent to what we're discussing, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They give preference to others over themselves. If you have an ameer of that nature, then it makes it very, very easy for that jamaat. That ameer, instead of looking at his own needs and necessities, he'll always be giving preference to others. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best amongst you is the one who is the source of benefit to others. So just to recap that, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when three of you undertake a journey, then, in other words, three or more, فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. Appoint an ameer over yourselves. And in the appointing of that ameer, just to recap, ulama say, choose a person of noble character, soft nature, intelligence, experience, and one who has the quality of ithar, giving preference to others over himself. Allah gives tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala.